Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Mully and Hanley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the questions.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
The Packers were god-awful on Monday Night Football. Can they really be that bad? Are they really just that bad? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal player, but he covered up for years of bad draft picks and mediocre free agency. I guess that's the case.
The fact of the matter is the Bears are going to have to run with Jordan Howard. Everyone's going to pick the Bears. Everyone, which scares me. No one's even given the Packers a chance. We all saw Monday night. Maybe you weren't paying attention. They've been playing without Aaron Rodgers a few weeks now, but the world seemed to wake up and say, hey, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. Did you notice how bad they are?
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
It's like the first half of the season is over, and that was the hard part. And now you start with the second half, which is supposed to be the fun part, and you got this player that is starting to show some alpha male behavior in the huddle, in the room. He's just got to translate that onto the field. If he leads them to 24 points, that would be phenomenal.
What's up, Chicago?
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, they've gotten, what, one touchdown in their last 27
possessions.
27
offensive possessions.
Offensive possessions. So 24 points.
Should get the job done, shouldn't it?
That's
should.
That's exactly right.
Should.
And in the land of one-legged men, the overweight guy is the fastest.
What?
Something along those lines. Hey, by the way, we should wish all of our veterans a happy Veterans Day today. Tomorrow is November 11th. Happy birthday to Rose Pollard. She is turning ageless tomorrow, and always a joy to have birthday greetings, but it's Veterans Day as well. So if you're planning on doing banking or post office stuff tomorrow, I believe that's a bad idea, isn't
it? Well, today all the city offices are closed.
In celebration of tomorrow, right? But anyway, you should always thank a veteran, but tomorrow is a day in which you're supposed to do it, so keep that in mind as you go along your travels and live within the freedom of this great country of ours. It's always a good idea to thank someone that you know is in the armed forces.
For all those who have served, we thank
you.
Yes,
we do, most sincerely. 312-644-6767. Keith is on I-88. Morning, Keith.
Hey, good. How about you guys?
Oh, you know what? It's just glorious and wondrous and just a phenomenal football weekend coming up and a lot of big games, and we're very, very blessed to be in a position to watch them.
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple of points on the upcoming game. On the Packers' viewpoint, I never expect them to be this bad. I don't think Mike McCarthy's using Huntley the right way. They're kind of asking him to go through all his progressions. It's just almost like Aaron Rodgers would do.
Yeah.
Can't do that. He needs to get the ball out quickly, do some read option, kind of play to his strengths like he would in college. And then the second thing, Morgan Burnett's missed a number of games.
He's out.
And he's out. And he's the quarterback of that defense. I mean, that's a huge loss. And when he has been out, there's been a lot of miscommunications in the Packers defense. So I think that's going to be key for this game.
That's great. That's good to know. And hopefully they don't fix that problem before the game, right?
Well, yeah.
And he's out. Morgan Burnett's going to be out, right? He hadn't practiced all week and is listed as out.
There's got to be a little pressure on Mike McCarthy here because he stood up there immediately after the injury to Rodgers and said, hey, we've been working with this guy. He's in our system for 3 years. He's ready. He's prepared and everything else. Okay, now you have a three-game losing streak. Mike's 3-7-1 without Aaron Rodgers in the last few years with the couple injuries now. And the offense looks like they have the handcuffs securely placed on Brett Huntley. So, you know, if they go winless here on out, he has to find a way for this team to win some games. And I'm sure he's thinking this probably is a must-win for him just to quiet people down up there, too, and maybe to let the team know that there's hope here, that they're not done and they're not going to pull the plug on the entirety of the season. And Clay Matthews the other day, I don't know if he's just giving lip service to him, Mully, said their pass defense is getting better, and he sees it. You know, here's hoping it's not this week that we all see
it. They don't need it, right? I mean, the Bears don't pass much.
If they come after the quarterback, and you know Dom Capers is going to dial it up against a rookie quarterback, so.
Well, here's the problem. I think that most teams are not going to dial it up against this rookie quarterback because you want him to throw. You want him to try to beat you because it's a lot. You have to stop the run against the Bears. That's what they do best. So you're going to try to load the box and dare them to throw and hope that you can then get yourself some kind of turnover, whatever. The over-under on pass attempts for Mitch, is this accurate?
Just what I threw up there.
That's not official.
Shecky Z-Pack over here is setting lines.
I'm like, looking at this. He had it at 16.5. It's down to 15.5.
In my own mind. That's in his head.
Yeah.
Twisted mind.
Joe, is there such a... We have to get Joe to find out if there is such an over. But the Bears don't pass all that damn
they
much.
They do have prop bets on quarterbacks, but does Brett Huntley...
Yeah, but they're usually not created by Kevbo.
And they're usually not Brett
Should
Huntley.
Should be.
Yeah.
They usually don't come out until Sunday mornings, a couple hours before the game. Not that...
What would you guess in your professional opinion?
In this weather?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think it's less than that.
Attempts or completions you're talking?
Attempts. 21 and a half?
No, I'd go lower.
Yeah, I'd go lower,
really?
Too.
Yeah.
You
expect them to take a lead early and sit on the ball, right? That's expectation. I don't know if it really happens.
Yeah.
I'd say somewhere around 15.
Which was double what he did against Baltimore, right?
Not so crazy now, am I?
You know, I think it's interesting when you start talking about the Packers because you asked the question if Mike McCarthy's under pressure, should he be feeling some pressure? I don't know that it isn't Ted Thompson that really ought to be feeling some pressure. I mean, you know, you lose Rodgers, and that's the guy that McCarthy's really responsible for, and that's everything that they're built around. All it's done is expose that they really have it. You know, we know they don't go into free agency. They go into free agency, they get Marty Bennett, who quits on them. That is not a good look, okay? They have to cut him because they think he's going to have surgery, elective surgery, to cash his check and then quit. You look at the team that is left here, man, they're pretty beaten up and they're not very good. You're left with a lot of exposed bad picks. And again, the free agency moves are either non-existent or not good. We'll talk to our buddy Tom Silverstein in just a little bit and ask him if there is any pressure on if this takes pressure off McCarthy or put pressure on him. The whole Brett Hundley thing is bizarre. This guy has been there for 3 years.
Right.
Usually when you see a brief break from Rodgers, it's been Matt Flynn, who's played just well enough to get himself paid a fortune. Matt Flynn got a lot of money in the NFL because people thought he could play, and he was behind Rodgers sitting there. Brett Hundley should be doing better, and if you watch him, he's not awful. It's just they're doing a lot of this dinking and dunking.
Right. They don't have faith in him.
They don't have any faith in him. And they, you know, certainly
they have guys who can catch the ball.
They got weapons in the passing game, and they got and Huntley can take off, and he can cause you problems. He's got, you know, that dimension, but that might be what he does best. Again, we'll talk to Tom about the Green Bay angle of it and where they're at because it is what's interesting about the game, and we haven't talked about this at all, and we'll run it by Tom. This is a must win for both teams.
Yeah, they have a 3-game losing streak.
They have to win this game. It's a division game. The Bears, for all you talk about the Bears and how well they've done and how ahead of the bar they are, and boy, playoffs, baby, they haven't won a division game. They've won one game in the conference, right? Two of their wins, the Ravens and the Steelers are in the AFC.
Right.
That's not the path to winning a division. You have to win in the division to win in the division. Fox explained how every year we try to win in the division. That's how you get into the playoffs. They've got two games against Detroit, right? They got to win both those games. They got another game against Minnesota.
Yep.
And obviously beating Green Bay. The Bears, if they really are serious, it's not a race to 9 wins. It's a race to win in the division.
Which is
this game is such a double whammy game. It is a must win for both teams. Green Bay's put them in a situation where they're teetering and their season depends on a win here.
And they're coming off an embarrassing effort on their
embarrassing
home field.
At home on a short week on national television. And again, recency bias plays a big role. The point spread has doubled since it opened, which tells you that people watch that game. And I think, and I'm not saying that they're going to be any better than that, but it is a crucial game for both sides. The Bears feel this is now it's win time. They went through the torture of the first half of the season, the tough schedule. They managed to get 3 wins in games they were not favored in. They weren't favored in the first half. Now they're at home. They're coming off a bye against the team on a short week without their best player, haven't shown they know how to play. This is a must-win for the Bears. If this coaching staff plans on returning, then you're counting this one in the win column. So it's a really interesting football game because not often at the midway point of the season do you see a must-win for both teams. And obviously, you're not eliminated from the tournament. But if the Packers are going to finish last in the division,
right,
they're going to start doing that right now. Maybe they started on Monday. This is going to be the week you look back on when it all went to hell.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Tom. Are they a desperate team, or are they a team that's basically pulling the plug on the season? This segment of the show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's Mully and Hanley. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to talk to Tom next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
There's no replacing that guy. So, I mean, we all felt it. We all knew it. And, you know, there was a sense of, all right, we gotta find a ways to step up, and, you know, in different positions to get some wins a different way. So, I mean, yeah, I remember it vividly, and it's not an easy thing when you lose a guy like that.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Josh Sitton talking about playing without Rodgers back in 2013, and it was bad then. It thinks worse now. He's probably not coming back. Maybe they need him this week. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. And there we find our friend Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Packers and doing a great job as always. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing great.
Well, I got to tell you, it is, and I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday, but Monday night might have been a low. That was just an almost unwatchable performance by the Packers. I never felt they were in that game. Now, you know, again, Matthew Stafford played a great game, but man, there was really little to hang your hat on, and it was shocking in a way to see that performance from the Green Bay Packers
on both sides of the ball. Mm. You know, it was really bad. Total dismantling by the Lions. And it's sort of where the Packers are right now. You know, it plays to the theme that Aaron Rodgers is the whole team. Although, you know, I mean, I really don't believe that's the case, but it sure looks that way, at least in the transition till they figure out what they can do with Brett Hundley and somehow get their act together on defense, which, you know, none of which is guaranteed. It's just the only thing they can hope for at this point is that with more playing time, Hundley becomes better and gives them some sort of offense. I mean, they had some plays to be made if you go back, but Hundley couldn't make them. And, you know, if they make a few plays, then it's a little bit of a different game. They at least put some pressure on Detroit. But with no offense in the NFL, you just can't win.
You had a very interesting column on kind of dissecting the Marty Bennett situation or drama, and Is that specific to the player just being a veteran guy who announced on Instagram that this was going to be his last season anyway without telling the team, and then the team responding, and now, of course, he ends up getting claimed by New England? Or is that, and you know, emblematic of maybe a bigger problem in the locker room that other guys might be pulling the plug on the season?
No, I think it was pretty exclusive to Martellus Bennett, who, I mean, you guys know about him.
Sure.
He's been with five teams. And it was, you know, I think the only conclusion you can come to, really, is that it was an orchestration to get out once, you know, this is going to be his last year, I would assume. I think the Packers kind of knew that when they signed him, that, you know, it probably would be 1 or 2 years at most. And once Rodgers went down, you know, his Super Bowl chances were done, and or at least he saw it that way, and that's the reality. And it was such a weird situation because the guy has not missed a single practice, not missed a single game. He's played like 88% of the snaps. He's had never been on the injury report, and then he comes back from the bye, practices, and then all of a sudden he's got a shoulder injury and he needs surgery. So, you know, you can only draw from that. And the players wouldn't say much yesterday publicly, but, you know, they kind of feel like he quit on them. And that's, I don't think that's rampant in the locker room. I just think that was a, you know, a really strategic thing by him to orchestrate his departure. So they have to move on from that.
I remember when he first came to Chicago and he was here for a while, and I was at training camp, and a veteran scribe came up to me and said, "Have you talked to him yet?" And I said, "Nah." And I said, "What about you?" And he said, "I just want to talk about football. I'm not interested in him." Because Marty had so many
animation plans and ideas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's an interesting guy. He's very intelligent. He's off the wall. But, you know, he's also kind of a front runner. Yeah. And, you know, when things are going well, things are great for him. And then when they're not, you know, he doesn't want to talk about anything, or, you know, all of a sudden he disappears. And so the Packers are definitely going to miss his run blocking. He is one heck of a run blocker. And part of the reason why Aaron Jones, their rookie running back, had a ton of success early, and they didn't run the ball without him very well on Monday night. So he'll be missed from that standpoint, but from the passing game, he had 7 drops this year.
Yeah,
already, and you know, didn't score a touchdown, was no factor in the red zone. So, like I said, they'll miss him from the run game, but they're not going to miss him in the passing attack.
Right after Rodgers got injured, Mike McCarthy was adamant that they didn't need any help from the outside. No Colin Kaepernick, nobody else. We got Brent Huntley. He's been here 3 years. And now when you see how limited the offense is and seemingly how limited the play calling is, how does that reflect on Mike McCarthy and his staff?
Well, you have to wait to see what happens with Hundley. It's 2 games, you know, that he's now we're in the 3. Basically, he came in the Minnesota game trying to play Rodgers' game plan, and then he had New Orleans and then Detroit. You see these backups throughout the NFL, and for most cases, they're just not very good. And he's a young guy that just hasn't played. And I don't think the final chapter is written. It's possible he's not worthy of playing in the NFL, but I don't think we know yet for sure until they alter the offense to fit him. You got to remember that what they do offensively is completely built around Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has all this leverage at the line of scrimmage to change plays. It's just all built around him, and Hundley can't do that. I mean, I'm not sure that there's a lot of quarterbacks who can do it. So they got to figure out how do they tailor this offense around him. If he's not playing by, you know, 3-4 more games down the road and he's not playing well, then that was a completely failed decision to go with him.
Is everybody safe? I mean, if this thing, is there going to be any calls for change, whether it be I don't know. I mean, Ted Thompson is kind of exposed. I don't think that – I mean, I know McCarthy's had – there's been talk about it before, but I don't think it's his fault. But I don't know.
I – you know, there's always – fans always want everybody fired. And, you know, and Mike McCarthy's record, even if it is with Aaron Rodgers, even if Aaron Rodgers is the reason, I mean, they've been to the playoffs 8 straight years. Mm-hmm. They've been to 3 NFC championship games, 1 Super Bowl. I don't think you can pin it on him. Ted Thompson's getting near the end. I don't know that he would get fired. But they've slowly started to move some of the scouting responsibilities to other people within the department. So I wouldn't expect big changes. The one guy who's really under heat is Dom Capers, because right. This year he's got more defensive talent than he's had in a while, and they can't put it together. If they don't turn it around starting this weekend, then you know he's really going to be in a bind.
Boy, I've heard calls for him for 10 years.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know how long he's been there, but it just seems like that's not news either, right?
Someone asked me, one of my colleagues asked me, so how long has Capers been under fire? And I was like, wow, has it been since the year after the Super Bowl? But I really think it was 2013 when they lost to Colin Kaepernick. Was that in 2012 or 13 when Kaepernick ran for 181 yards and they rolled up 572 yards of offense? That's when it really started.
It's been a while. Hey, Tom, always a joy to talk to you.
Are you picking the Packers?
Yeah,
can they win?
Say, who did you pick?
I haven't made my pick yet. I've gone back like 5 or 6 times of which way I'm going to go. I don't know. I honestly this is a flip a coin game to me. I think the Bears' defense is really good, and I don't know if the Packers are going to be able to score much than a few field goals. So it all kind of depends on what their defense does.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Great talking to you.
Okay. See you guys.
Thanks, Tom.
That's our guy, Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's interesting stuff there. I mean, you know, Dom Capers gets launched. That's been a long time coming. And it really would be more the sacrificial, you know.
We're doing something here. Somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. Earlier this year, I remember looking up, wait, is he still there?
Oh, yeah.
Because whenever they lose, however their season ends, it's always on Dom Capers. Is this year showing you that maybe it's more on Ted Thompson on the defensive side, too, because we've seen offensively how much things have changed without Aaron Rodgers? But how much talent does he have on the defensive side?
You know, and a final thought on that. I mean, if you could have Mike McCarthy as the head coach here, would you take him?
I need to give him a new contract?
Well, would you take him? Yeah, I mean,
you got the quarterback, young quarterback. Here's a guy who could develop him.
Do you think it's a great offense that he runs, or is that all Aaron Rodgers?
I think he's done a good job with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I think he's, you know, the other thing is he's like a Pittsburgh guy. His dad ran a bar. He reminds me of guys I grew up with. He'd be a great guy to have around town.
Ditka.
He's got a certain south side to him.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we're going to find out if the Bears are going to win. We'll ask our man in Vegas, Joe Fortenbaugh, by way of San Francisco, who is going to win the game. Joe will give you that answer next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. And Joe, of course, with 96.7, the game in San Francisco, and you can get the Sharp 600 podcast wherever podcasts are sold. And no, they're free, but you have to listen to it. And Joe is also going to be in town next weekend, and we're going to try to get a football watch party going. Right, Joe? You've already got one planned. Is that it?
Well, first of all, boys, it's great to be on the program. It's a historic day. First time since 2008, the Chicago Bears favored over the Green Bay Packers. so much to get to, but yes, next week. I haven't been in Chicago in a few years, and my wife and I are coming in, and I figured it's a small window, but we're doing it. The 50-50, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., college football watch party. We're hanging out. We're drinking beers. We're figuring out what we're going to bet on the NFL Sunday, as well as what we'll be chasing on the college football losers later in the afternoon. Everybody's welcome. Come on out. We got the basement reserved. Can't wait to party with you guys.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Count us in. I'm sure Brian, in particular, will be there. I, of course, will be there. And you're coming in here with us, right?
I am going to crash the party. The wife awesome. And I get in Thursday night late. We're going to have a dinner, a couple cocktails, maybe light some candles. Who knows? Friday morning, I'm coming in and crashing the studio. We're talking Bears. I want to talk Bears football. If you want to talk about the Bulls, we'll talk about the Bulls, too. It's going to be tough. Remember, I cover the Warriors, but I'm sure we can figure it out.
Oh, what's the difference? It's just they're both NBA teams.
Yes, plenty of similarities.
Hey, we got the All-Star Game in 2020. Sure, you're going to have NBA Finals.
The Warriors will all be here in 2020.
Yeah, welcome.
Oh, that's good stuff right there.
Oh, boy. Depends on perspective. At any rate, Joe, this weekend, oh, my goodness gracious, Dustin has fainted already three times this morning at the thought of Notre Dame going down to Miami. He is more excited about that than the Bears, but it's a Packer week. I mean, this is a big deal here. Let's start wherever you want. The college football has been phenomenal this year, and like I was saying earlier, that the college poll, it was so great to know that I had been looking at the season, upside down. It was a Stranger Things episode to me. And now I finally get it, and now I know what I'm looking at. So the Big Ten, I'm planning on going to the Northwestern game, but maybe I'm making a mistake because that's Big Ten football, and no one cares about it.
Well, I care about it. I'm a Penn State graduate, so it was nice to see them lose two in a row and effectively eliminate their playoff chance. I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. I understand. Look, I understand the Ohio State game, but last week you can't have that penalty late in the game. Oh. The Big Ten was so close to seizing its grip as the best conference in college football. And now they just, Ohio State and Penn State, let it get away. And I'll tell you what, Wisconsin, maybe they handle their business this week against Iowa, but the bottom line is they are not viewed as that tough of an out right now for some of the best in the business. So it's unfortunate. We've got four games in college this week, none of which are Big Ten related. We'll start with an early one, Boston College at North Carolina State. I think all the pros in Vegas are going to be playing Boston College this week. They're catching 3 points. It's all about the spot here. Boston College has been playing good football this season, believe it or not. And they've had a bye week to get ready for this one. So it's been a couple weeks since they've played. They're rested. Everything's been going well. Here comes North Carolina State. Last 2 weeks, back-to-back games. Very physical affair against Notre Dame, followed by a very physical affair against Clemson. This team's banged up, and they're going to walk in here, probably take Boston College for granted. I think it's an upset in the making. We're going to take the 3 points with the Boston College Eagles. Game number two, Lane Kiffin owes us this one. Anyone who saw that last week, that stupid safety with Florida Atlantic, meaningless, late in the game.
Rat poison.
Rat poison, whatever that means, Kiffin. Like, come on, man, get organized. You're the guy who was run out of Oakland, you fled Tennessee in the middle of the night, fired on the tarmac at USC, kicked out of Alabama before the championship game. Like, let's get organized here. Cover some spreads. And that's what they've been doing, and I think they bounce back with a big spread cover this week. Laying four at Louisiana Tech. Everyone's going to talk about Kiffin and what he's done with this team. It's fantastic. Keep an eye on Florida Atlantic running back Devin Singletary. The kid's going to have a real big day against the Louisiana Tech run defense that's been very shaky this year. So lay the four with Florida Atlantic. Game number three, it's a big spread. It's Missouri laying 12.5 against Tennessee. Two teams trending in opposite directions. Missouri has covered the number in five straight, and over their last three games, they're averaging 55 points per game. Now, granted, they haven't played elite competition, but the offense does have a bit of a rhythm going on right now. They're in a groove, and they're two games away from bowl eligibility, so you know they're focused. Tennessee has packed it in on Butch Jones. They failed to cover the number in 6 of 9 games this year, and they could be without quarterback Jared Guarantano, who's a game-time decision thanks to that right ankle injury. So we're going to lay 12.5 with Missouri. And then the fourth game, I figure we'll do it for the people of Chicago, Notre Dame laying 3 at Miami. So here's how this game is being evaluated. The Hurricanes last week, we talked about it. They burned us. because we played Virginia Tech. Miami's just been living on the high wire all season long. These one-score games, one-score games. The Sharps have thought they were a fraud and a bit overrated. So they jumped on Virginia Tech last week. I jumped on Tech last week. It looked like that was going to be our spot. And then the Hurricanes go out and roll Virginia Tech. So now you're trying to reassess, wait, is this Miami team for real? Did we have it wrong? How good is Virginia Tech? Meanwhile, here's Notre Dame, best offensive line in football, going down there to take on Miami. I'm going to lay the three. I'm not super confident in this one, but I'm going to lay the three with Notre Dame. Love what Brian Kelly's done with this team this year, and I think that they're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And ultimately, that's going to be the deciding factor in this game because Miami had its way with Virginia Tech last week. But I will say this. It's great to have this rivalry back in play. It's great to have the U back. It's great to have Notre Dame back. Two-story programs. College football is better off when these two are in the picture.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that's a fun group. And even, you know, Mark Richt is a different, difficult guy not to like. And I think both he and Brian Kelly are approaching this game the right way. Having, you know, Mark Richt talked about letting the kids have some fun, and they acknowledge how important this game is. And, you know, they're not taking this as serious as a heart attack.
Richt has done an awesome job. And I'll tell you what, it's happening at the perfect time because Florida State is a mess and the Gators are completely unwatchable.
Right.
The entire state of Florida is up for grabs from a recruiting standpoint. This is the time to be peaking if you're Miami. Very, very fortunate time for the program.
All right, what about the NFL? I don't know if you have an opinion on the Bears against the Packers. Will there be a touchdown in the game?
Will they be a touchdown favorite by kickoff? I mean, that line just keeps climbing.
Okay, so here's what we're looking at. It's not one of the four picks I have for the pros, but we'll touch on it. Like we said, and I'm sure you guys have talked about, Big Z's been all over it, blowing up my phone last week. Like, here's another thing, and I'm going to talk to him about this next week. Biggs just looks at me as a free Google service to do all his research for him. These text messages, hey, when was the last time the Bears were favored against the Packers? I don't know. Use Google. Type it into Google. I got things to do.
Is your middle name Siri?
Yeah. I mean, just there's got to be that resource out there. But all jokes aside, love that dude.
He'll be out with us on Saturday, right? We'll get him out.
He's going to be out Saturday, and I'm going to try to get his butt in Friday morning, too.
Oh,
we have
right.
a nice little round table of just great minds kicking around Blackhawk hockey and things of that nature.
Dustin gets next Friday off, Joe. You book the show. That's outstanding.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Google everything for us, will you?
Did you fade Joe last week, Dustin? Did you fade Joe?
Well, who's in for Joe?
That's good stuff right there.
Rob Pizzola.
Oh, Pizzola. You know what? Pizzola's actually a good friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, I know him from, well, I mean, degenerates running groups. We all know him.
So. You have Canadian degenerates.
Which is why people should come out Saturday to the 50-50.
Yeah, by the way, God. People are asking, that's 2047 West Division. It's just east of Damon on Division. You can't miss it. So.
And here's another thing with that. I don't be surprised if a dice game breaks out in the back room at some point on Saturday.
Are you going to end up in the Hooskow?
Now the Bunko squad's
yeah, right.
coming.
All right, so here's the rundown. Thoughts on Bears-Packers. First time as a favorite over Green Bay since 2008. We all know that. I play the under 38 points. I don't see Green Bay scoring. Chicago's defense has been very solid this year. They don't get nearly enough credit for what they've been doing. But again, we know the troubles both offenses have had moving the ball. I wouldn't even screw around with this game. It's a total of 38. This is one of those ones where I play the under, and if it doesn't work out, I don't think I'd be too upset about it. I think the teams have shown you everything they need to show you. For the four that I'm eyeing up, Buffalo +3 over New Orleans, this is going to be that pros-Joes divide of the week. All the Joes are going to be playing the Saints. They've been red hot. They've been covering. They've got Drew Brees. They just hammered Tampa Bay. Everyone is going to want to fade Buffalo because last time we saw them, they got blown out by the Jets in New York on Thursday night. But again, 10 days to get ready for this game at home, non-conference road date for the Saints. There are a lot of red flags going up with this one. This is one of those games where the public will be all over New Orleans. The pros will be all over Buffalo, calling for the upset. Take the Bills +3. Game number two, Minnesota at Washington. We talked about this trend last week. Since 2015, teams that play in London then go on the bye. When those teams come off the bye, they are 11-0-1 against the spread. We've seen three winners this year. The Saints did it in week 6 against the Lions. And then the Rams and the Cardinals did it last week. So it points to two teams this week, Minnesota, so we're going to lay the point at Washington, because that physical affair in Seattle last week, that's going to have its effect in the fourth quarter of this game against Minnesota. And the Browns are also in play here, but you can't bet the Browns. You don't bet the Browns in any scenario. I don't care if the trend is 500.
It's a federal law. You cannot bet the Browns.
Stay away. You don't want to watch the game. If you bet on the Browns, you end up watching some of it. It's not good for your eyesight. It's not good for your mindfulness, your mental health. Just stay away. Lay the point with Minnesota. Game number three, Giants-Niners. We're going to go under 42 total points. This is a situation where the Niners have scored exactly 10 points in each of their last three games. They got no offense. They can't protect. They got nothing at quarterback right now with Beathard. Beathard's a tough kid, and if you gave him an opportunity, I think he could make something happen. But they've given him nothing. No weapons, no protection. He's taking a beating back there. The Giants haven't scored more than 24 points all season, and you got two teams that rank 23rd and 29th in yards per play. No offense here. I could see this one 20-17. We're going to play under 42. And then I'm going to go ahead and play as square as it is, lay the 7.5 with the Patriots over the Broncos. This is generally that spot where I tell you it's Sunday night, home dog, they're going to catch them. But you know what? Denver's packed it in. 2 years ago, they knew what it took to win the Super Bowl. This defense is looking around realizing they got no shot to compete because of the quarterback situation. They packed it in and got hammered in Philly last week. Sunday night, they let the Giants roll in a few weeks ago and beat them up on their home turf. I think New England kicks their butt here. Close out all your six-point teasers with the Patriots. Lay the 7.5 with the Patriots. And then to recap the others, under 42 points, Niners-Giants. Lay the 1 with Minnesota at Washington. Take the 3 with Buffalo over New Orleans.
And what time's your dice game start next Saturday? We'll tell them. We'll tell them Friday.
The party will run, I believe 50-50 is open at 10. I'm going to get there early, but we're going to get this thing cooking whenever, around 11 to 3, and then we're going to the airport. Dice game probably starts 10 minutes before 50-50 even opens.
On the sidewalk?
I'm going to need action. Yeah, we're going to be outside. I'm going to need action before the college football game starts. So show up. Let's roll some dice. And let's eat some wings.
All right. Sounds great, Joe. We look forward to seeing you next Friday. And then next Saturday, we'll have the watch party at 50-50. We'll tweet it out. We'll let everybody know the details. And it's going to be great to see you, pal. We miss you.
Can't wait, boys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. See you next Friday.
All right, buddy. That is our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh, our man in Vegas by way of San Francisco. Well, he was in Vegas when he went to San Francisco, so he's still our man in Vegas.
Yeah.
And we'll get a chance to hook up with him next weekend. And if you're not doing anything, put it on your calendar. Come on out, and we'll all get together and have a cocktail and watch some college football. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.